Let's take a closer look at this market action with our guest, Phan Chu Quan, Asia CIO at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth, joining us from our studios in Hong Kong. Ms. Phan, thank you so much for being with us. So let's begin with the delay of the publication on third quarter GDP. Are we to read into this that the number was not going to look so rosy for the mainland economy?
I think the delay of the China GDP data should be more related to the ongoing 20th National Party Congress. And I think the market have actually expected quite a tough Q3 economic performance as we continue to see the COVID disruption together with the property market slump. So that would be reflected in the Q3 GDP numbers and the September economic indicators.
We've seen China junk dollar bonds drop to a record low because the property crisis is really just, again, a concern about this excessive borrowing. When do we see some really strong policy steps for the property sector?
I think more comprehensive and decisive policy actions to reverse the downturn of the property sector will likely come out after the Party Congress. But I think more visible policy actions would need to be formulated and finalized when we have the Central Economic Work Conference in December, because that would be an annual policy setting working conference to formulate a specific policy action. But we have already seen the local government authorities rolling out more property market stabilizing measures, but I think that this is not yet sufficient to reverse the downturn as reflected by the substantial year-on-year decline in property sales. So a more comprehensive policy support package is still needed to contain the spillover effect from the property market weakness. So we think the Central Economic Work Conference would need to formulate a set of effective policy actions, not just focusing on the completion of unfinished property project, but also address the liquidity crunch of the developers. So we do expect the government to roll out more substantial stimulus action, because this would hold key for the growth recovery outlook in 2023.
I just wanted to get your broader view as well on where you're seeing the right place to allocate at the moment, because 70% of the people that we surveyed expect that the US economy will emerge a winner from the downturn, and you're bullish on the US dollar and overweight US equity. So assuming you feel the same here.
Yeah, we currently have a mild underweight allocation to global equities, and within our equity universe, we have the biggest tactical overweight on U.S. equities, because we believe the U.S. economy will remain relatively resilient to recession risk as compared with other developed economies, especially the Eurozone and the U.K., that we expect would be heading into recession in the fourth quarter. And looking at the ongoing reporting season, we continue to see underlying fundamental strength in U.S. corporate earnings performance, as indicated by the strong bank result release in recent days. So this also reflects that the U.S. equity market will likely be better positioned to weather the inflation and policy tightening risks, given the strong support by the healthy labor market. So consumer spending outlook also remain resilient.
When it comes to the outlook for the Chinese economy, let's go back to the other day when President Xi opened the Party Congress with that speech. And one of the words that I heard repeated was creativity. And I linked that to the idea of innovation and becoming a little bit more self-sufficient, especially where high technology is concerned. And we know now, in terms of U.S.-China tension, one of the hot-button issues is advanced semiconductor technology. So if the U.S. holds this line firm and China does not have access to that leading edge technology. To what extent is the economic picture going to change? How is high tech in China going to be held back?
Yeah, in the opening speech that President Xi delivered at the Party Congress, he actually attached quite a strong strategic focus on technological innovation, and this reflect continuous strong government policy support will be given to the advanced technology sector, given the geopolitical tensions that Beijing currently face in regard to the latest U.S. chip export ban, and this will remain a key headwind. And this would also accelerate the localization program in terms of development of the core technology and key capability based on homegrown technology capability, and we also expect China would try to seek collaboration with potential developed market partner in Europe, Japan, and Asia. So this is going to be a key strategic focus of Beijing to enhance its tech capability in order to fulfill its objective goal of technology upgrading, especially in advanced manufacturing.
What did you read into the PBOC's pause on the MLF yesterday? Does that mean we don't really see any moves again until next year?
I think with the policy divergence between the U.S. and China, given the Federal Reserve is still staying on a hawkish policy tightening path. So this would actually constrain the room for the PBOC to cut interest rate, and we believe the PBOC will likely adopt other monetary easing means, including liquidity support and potential reserve requirement ratio cut, rather than direct policy rate cut.
All right. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Fan Chukwan is Asia CIO at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth in our Hong Kong studio. This is Bloomberg.